Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hello there, friend. I'm J. Mark Horse with some information you need as we begin today's program. 2 weeks ago, we began airing a series of messages from the book of 1 Corinthians. If you heard the first message, you probably recognize the voice of our founder and first president, Dr. J. Otis Yoder. But due to some technical difficulties in our recording studio, the reproduction of several messages in the series by Dr. Yoder were not of high enough recording quality to put on the air. On today's program, and the one next week, yours truly will be revoicing Dr. Yoder's original messages. Thanks so much for your understanding and continued support. Today's message is titled, The Divisive Character of the Cross. The Bible says that God made all nations of one blood. The Apostle Paul, when lecturing on Mars Hill in Athens, made that tremendous statement. You'll find it in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. Paul was giving the elite philosophers of Mars Hill a tough proposition. He was saying they and the slaves of the marketplace were of one blood. Now, intellectualism often lifts up the human spirit in pride. The Apostle Paul said that knowledge puffs up. The gospel elevates the common person and humbles the chief executive officer. So surely we can say the ground around the cross is level. The cross cuts clean. It is a divisive cross. No one can stand brazenly erect in the presence of the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross cuts down. It humbles all. Now, let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 18-25. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In our text, Paul clearly sets forth the divisions the cross makes when it is properly preached. The first division is, the cross divides at regeneration. On the one hand, the Apostle Paul speaks about those who are perishing. On the other, about those who are being saved. The cross cleaves the human race into two groups. Notice carefully what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. My friend, those are the words of Jesus, and we can't get around them. The cross makes the division. The cross strikes through. It divides at regeneration. It classifies people into two groups.
There just is no middle ground. Those who are perishing fail to comprehend what is required. Speaking of Christ and the cross, commentator Albert Barnes wrote these words, and I quote, "They are blind to the true beauty of his personal character, to the true dignity of his nature, to his power over the sick, the lame, the dying, and the dead. They see not the bearing of the work of atonement on the law and government of God. They believe not in his resurrection and his present state of exalted glory. The world looks only at the fact that the despised man of Nazareth was put to death on a cross and smiles at the idea that such a death could have any important influence on the salvation of man." End of quote. Yes, that is true. That is where it is. Anyone wishing to be born again, saved, must accept the cross and its meaning. The second division is the cross divides at sophistication. We line up the intellectuals. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, "Where is the wise?" The wise is the lover of knowledge, the lover of wisdom, pursuing knowledge simply for its own sake. The more he can accumulate, the happier he is. And Paul says, "Where is the scribe? The one who copies the law, the Mosaic law, or the Roman law? Those who are well learned. Ask him. He's like a walking encyclopedia. He can tell you what the answer is." Or, "Where is the disputer of this world, the researcher, the one who studies and studies and studies what the sages have said?" All right, set those three on one side, the wise, the scribe, and the disputer of this world. Set them over there. The wisdom of God far surpasses them and trims them down to size. The cross divides that kind of human sophistication. You know, human sophistication cannot fathom the wisdom of God. Actually, it doubles back on itself. We might say it bounces off the ceiling. If we are searching for truth, all we can know really is what God has revealed about himself. You see, the stumbling block is Jesus. To the Jew, the cross is a stumbling block. But the Old Testament scriptures are full of sacrificial rituals over and over again. You bring this offering for that, and that offering for this. Now why should that be such a stumbling block? And then, the cross is foolishness to the Greeks or Gentiles. The very idea that they should be expected to believe that Jesus Christ dying on the cross would or could have any effect on them is absurd. But then, they had no reasonable answer. They could not come up with anything better. I want you to hear a few words from Barnes again, and I quote, "The profoundest theories in science and the most subtle speculations of men of genius in regard to the causes of those things are often overthrown by a few simple discoveries, and discoveries which are at first despised as much as the gospel is. The invention of the telescope by Galileo was to the theories of philosophers and astronomers what the revelation of the gospel was to the systems of ancient learning and the deductions of human wisdom. The one confounded the world as much as the other, and both were at first equally the object of opposition and contempt." End of quote. So you see, the cross reduces human wisdom to shambles. And then there's the third division. The cross divides at confrontation. The call confronts all, Jews and Greeks, the religious and the intelligent. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Those are the words of Jesus. A loving call to the weary, and my friend, all are weary. It comes, the blessed call. Christ empowers. Christ imparts power to do and wisdom to understand. Amen. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, the apostle says. Go ahead. Gather your libraries together. Stack up your computer software around the world. Pile it up. Let me tell you that after you have it all together, what you do not know makes a bigger pile than what you do know. Yes, my friend, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's power. Bring together all the power of human inventions. Bring it together, all the great earth-moving equipment, everything you can think of in the form of power. Bring it together. I inform you that God's weakness easily outpulls it all. No doubt, he can do more with his little finger than a million weightlifters can do together. Amen. He has the last word. Listen to the words of another, and I'm quoting. Men groped after him, but could not find him. It was part of the divine scheme that the wisdom of the world should have free scope to work, and only when it had exhausted itself was the world ripe for the bringing in of the gospel. This was a part of the preparation for Christ. Human wisdom is still inadequate. It cannot save a single soul. Men perish as they speculate. Men die as they frame theories of life. In God's view, man's wisdom is folly. In man's view, God's wisdom is folly. In the confrontation, God's wisdom comes out far ahead. Think carefully how the cross attacks and demolishes all human hopes. The cross divides at regeneration. You are either perishing or being saved. The cross divides at sophistication. You either accept the wisdom of God or try to build on the shambles of human wisdom. And finally, the cross divides at confrontation. You either appeal to the power of God or struggle in vain to find peace in your spirit and soul.
Heavenly Father, how we praise you for the cross of Jesus Christ, where he willingly gave his life for us, so we could have forgiveness from our sins. And not only forgiveness of our sins, but power to live and to walk in victory. The power to say no to the desires of our flesh and the temptations the enemy puts in our way. Father, we know the message of the cross is divisive. Many have tried in their human reasoning to devise their own way to reach you. But all the ways of man fall short of what is needed. Only the cross of Christ can bring reconciliation and cleansing. Father, take that truth and bring it home to the heart of my listening friend today, because I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, do you have peace in your soul about the future? Do you know what will happen to you when you die? The Bible is the only book that will tell you how to have peace with God and give you the assurance that you can spend eternity with him after your life is over here on earth. Now, if you do not have a Bible, you really need one. If you can't afford to buy a Bible, we'd like to give you a copy for your personal use. Just write and ask for a free English language Bible. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your request by the email link that's provided. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now you be sure to join us next week. We'll continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.